opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as always, we've got information for you. Information you can use to protect your good health. And that's what we're about here. Good health. Not necessarily treating disease, but preserving your health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. I want to start off today talking about a topic that I think maybe some people aren't aware of, and we'll find out. Do you know that some people can have a heart attack and not even know it?
It's very interesting because a lot of times people come to me and they're very upset because they've been told by their doctors, based on some investigative technique that the doctor used, that they had a heart attack and they never knew it.
Okay, so we would all agree it's important to know if you had a heart attack. Now, typically, we've all been told that if you have a heart attack, you're going to have a crushing chest pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats. But a new study with about 9,500 Americans show that 45% of all heart attacks are silent. And these silent heart attacks triple the odds of dying from heart disease. And the reason for that is you've got heart disease, you're not being made aware of it, so you're not taking the steps and the precautions to prevent the risk of dying.
Repeat those symptoms of a heart attack that you just mentioned, Dr. Slavin.
Crushing chest pain, shortness of breath, and cold sweats.
Okay. Rosie O'Donnell has a stand-up comedy routine documenting what she experienced during a very serious heart attack that she had, and I don't remember all of them. There were five different points that she went over. Pale. Her face was extremely pale. She was exhausted, but she did not have that crushing pain in her chest. Pale, exhausted, fatigue. Those are the only ones that I'm remembering.
Well, the fact that they're called silent means there are no symptoms associated with it. Mm-hmm. You have it, or you might have symptoms, but you don't attribute it to your heart.
You could say pale, exhaustion, the situation would be, maybe I'm coming down with the flu, maybe I'm getting sick.
Well, most of the time, like you were just mentioning, someone who's had a silent heart attack is picked up, on routine EKG, not because they complained of any symptoms. So we're going to talk about some of the symptoms. See, there is no such thing as a silent heart attack. We could say, I would rather call it a missed heart attack, because in other words, the symptoms weren't bad enough to call your attention to it. And by the way, silent heart attacks are more common among men, but they're more deadlier for women. So, what we could call, a good way is missed heart attacks, but silent heart disease might be a better way to do it. In other words, you can have developing heart disease and not realize it if you wait for symptoms to occur. I mean, that's the way mainstream medicine is practiced across the board. We don't keep people from getting sick. We wait for them to get sick, and then we jump in.
Okay, two questions, Dr. Slavin. people having a heart attack, at risk of a heart attack, might the heart rate variability test that the Institute of Advanced Medicine does, might that uncover any issues?
Oh, absolutely. It would just be another indicator of risk, of increased risk.
Okay, and red blood cell magnesium level tested?
Oh, that's another indicator of risk. But let me go back to some of the symptoms. You alluded to a couple of them, fatigue. Another symptom would be nausea. Another symptom would be shortness of breath. And the thing is that who doesn't get short of breath if you're exercising or running errands, and it goes away if you rest? But if there's a change, you have to look into it. I remember I had a patient once, guy was in good shape, and he would work out all the time, and he was saying, just doesn't have the energy that he used to have. So it's not enough to do an EKG, electrocardiogram, because that still could be normal, and you can have heart problems. And we followed that up with an echocardiogram, and it showed he had a what we would call a cardiomyopathy. His heart muscle was weak. Now, that could be caused by a virus. It could be caused by other things.
What about low CoQ10?
Might be a contributing factor, especially in people who are taking statin drugs. So what do you do if you have a silent heart attack? Well, it's really a late sign of an illness that mainstream medicine is ignoring until you get sick enough to spend a lot of money treating. Okay, what are some of the risk factors? Well, the easy risk factors are high cholesterol and high blood pressure. But I'd like to point out that high cholesterol is not the cause of the disease. It's a symptom of the disease.
Okay, so as usual, mainstream medicine treats symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So if you're told you have, here's the point. Doctors are not telling patients they have heart disease until they have a heart attack. You have heart disease way before you have a heart attack. It doesn't happen out of the blue. That's the point.
How much might stress have to do with it? So a really intensely stressful situation, someone who has mild underlying heart disease, could that precipitate a silent heart attack?
Stress may be the immediate precipitating factor, because what the immediate precipitating factor before the actual heart attack is a ruptured plaque. And you mentioned some tests before, you know, like inflammatory tests. One of the tests that look at inflamed, vulnerable plaque is the LPPLA2. If that's elevated, that means you have plaque that may be a greater risk of rupturing. You want to know that. Now, what makes it rupture? You said stress. Why is that? Stress will raise your blood pressure. It just puts more pressure into the blood vessels, making them more prone to rupture. That's why, you hear the story about people doing high exertion. That'll raise blood pressure and increase the risk of heart attack. Someone shoveling snow. Then you have a double risk there. You have the cold air you're breathing in, and at the same time, you're exerting yourself pretty strenuously, and that could increase the risk of a ruptured plaque.
Isn't oxygen level in the air a little lower when you're shoveling snow? I just remember reading that years ago that might have been a contributing factor to how many people deal with heart attacks. I have a question. LDL cholesterol has been designated the bad cholesterol, and LDL cholesterol is meant to cover over inflamed areas of blood vessels. So the idea is, if your LDL cholesterol is high, what you want to really focus on is reducing inflammation systemically. So instead of moving directly to a statin drug, anti-inflammatories could be very beneficially used.
Well, that's this, the argument given for the use of statins, that it has anti-inflammatory properties.
Not as much as, let's say, fish oil, vitamin A, E, C, D. Very important to reduce inflammation.
And there's another test that's available, and that's called oxidized LDL. And, you know, that's really the test you want to see. It's the oxidized cholesterol that becomes the dangerous cholesterol, not the regular cholesterol, the unoxidized cholesterol.
Okay, so people developing heart disease, might they have little indications that maybe there's inflammation? Are people with arthritis or gastroesophagitis, might those people have, because of that very identifiable inflammation, might those people be forewarned, so to speak, about take care of the inflammation, because it isn't just isolated at your joints or GI tract?
Well, I think you have to try and correct it. Now, normally, you know, we check these inflammatory markers routinely, and I tell patients, you know, at least on the first test, if I see some elevations, let's see if it's chronic, or it may, you know, a lot of times it'll go back to normal the next time you check. But if we see inflammatory markers staying elevated, persistently elevated, then we have to start intervening, look for the underlying cause. Sometimes you can't find it, but you have to consider also problems with your teeth. That could be a big one.
And certainly the bacteria that are associated with periodontal disease and the plaque that accumulates on your teeth.
Now, the recommendations, and by the way, the information I'm passing along was published in the journal Circulation. You know, it's a mainstream peer-reviewed journal, and, you know, they're talking about the silent heart attacks and how that's almost half the number of heart attacks. People miss it. They don't know it. Therefore, they're not getting the appropriate treatment. Well, what is the appropriate treatment? It's the same for heart attacks. You want to control your blood pressure. You want to control your cholesterol. But the way to control the cholesterol is not with statins. It's by cutting your carbohydrates, by reducing your blood sugar and insulin levels.
Triglycerides. There's articles out there, Dr. Slavin, talking about how triglycerides may very well be much more important than your total cholesterol. And when we come back, I have some questions about cholesterol for you.
Okay.
Yes, we are. We are going on a break. So stay tuned. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth? Trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about, might it be possible that a silent heart attack is part of your health history? Dr. Slavin, just before the break, you were mentioning cholesterol and how mainstream medicine, I just see how mainstream medicine totally focuses on cholesterol. It seems like they almost ignore all other situations going on in someone's body and focus on cholesterol. And I see all the time people on medication to lower cholesterol, and they have an HDL of 85 or 90. What's up with that?
Yeah, I've had, see it more so in women. Like you said, an HDL of 80 or 90, even the total cholesterol might be as high as 300. And I don't put them on statin drugs.
Thank you.
And I've tested enough women with a calcium score.
Yes, very important.
In that category, in other words, say cholesterol is a 300, but you have your HDLs of 80. And I find no sign of coronary artery disease, and yet they're putting on a statin drug. If you read the adverse risks or the adverse symptoms associated with taking statin drugs, you wouldn't want to take it for anything less than a life-threatening situation.
So important. The calcium score, an ultra-fast CT scan of the heart. The ultra-fast CT scan of the heart gives you indication of the accumulations of calcium, and it is calcified metabolic debris that may have accumulated in your coronary arteries, and underlying there may have been inflammation in those particular areas of the coronary arteries, and that inflammation may very well have come about because of the chemistry of the blood, because of certain minerals not being in proper balance with one another.
So I want to give you the common adverse reactions associated with Lipitor, which is probably the one that sells the most statins. Lipitor is the most common one. The common reactions: upper respiratory symptoms, headache, arthralgias, arthritis, diarrhea, extremity pain, urinary tract infection, dyspepsia, which means basically GERD, gastroesophageal reflux, nausea, musculoskeletal pain, muscle spasms, myalgia, which is muscle pain, insomnia, pharyngolaryngeal pain, that's throat pain, diabetes, abdominal pain, constipation, flatulence, urticaria, which is itching and a rash,
hives,
an elevated CK, creatine kinase, which is a reflection of muscle damage, elevated liver enzymes.
Okay, reflection of muscle damage. What is your heart? Your heart's a muscle.
And your levels of CoQ10 decrease, and also cognitive impairment. And what they've, did I mention diabetes? I might have skipped over that. And diabetes is a risk factor too. Now that's the common reactions, meaning a large percentage of people taking it. Now how often are the people gonna have these symptoms and not associated with the drug they're taking?
Very often when I refer to some of those symptoms showing individuals the PDR with regard to Lipitor, they'll say, well, I've been taking it for years and never had a problem. And it might be that your body started out pretty strong and now it has been depleted of CoQ10. It has kind of reached the end of its ability to cope with that chemical.
Now, here are the serious reactions. Probably occur less commonly, but they can occur. Tendon rupture. Now, rhabdomyolysis is a severe form of muscle damage that can lead to acute renal failure. Your kidneys fail.
How about acute heart failure?
Well, it's, all your muscles are being damaged. Hepatotoxicity, in other words, severe liver problems, pancreatitis, Then you have thrombocytopenia, low platelet count. How many people have that? And really, the doctors say, well, we don't know. Well, maybe if you're on the statin drug, we do know.
How much of this is related to our subject of yesterday's show, Dr. Slavin, where we were talking about medical errors?
Mm-hmm. Well, not medical errors for this one. This is the one, the category where you die from using a drug appropriately.
Okay.
In other words, leukopenia, meaning a low white count. Hemolytic anemia, meaning your red blood cells are lysing, they're breaking up, and you're getting anemic from it. And then you have, again, diabetes.
Iatrogenic disease, the third biggest killer of Americans.
So then I'm putting in here, just to see if I can...
I talk to people all the time about the effects on their bodies of lowering coenzyme Q10 levels. And I'm always surprised at how many times people on cholesterol lowering statin class drugs, and they have not been advised until they get to me to use coenzyme Q10.
And then I just put in to see what kind of drug interactions there would be between, say, Lipitor and Cipro, a very commonly prescribed antibiotic. And there is a drug interaction. They say the statin levels will increase, increasing the risk of myopathy. And so when you say myopathy, it means something wrong with the muscles. When you say cardiomyopathy, it's something wrong with the heart muscle. So myopathy includes everything. Then you have rhabdomyolysis. That's where your muscles are actually just breaking down because the liver is not functioning properly. So how many people are on, so many people are on a statin drug. When you're given any other drug, you really have to check for adverse reactions because you never know who's going to be the one to suffer an adverse reaction like this.
And last week we talked about the fluoroquinolones, which Cipro is one of that class of antibiotics and very much associated with some serious overall reactions. One of the things that I talk to people about has to do with using statin class drugs. The statin class drugs were introduced into the marketplace, I'm going to say 25, 30 years ago. And 30 years ago, how many people did you hear of who were diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease? We had some portion of the population that these individuals were dealing with dementia or pretty significant memory loss. But now we have projections that by the year 2020, half of the individuals who reach 85 years of age will be diagnosed with dementia. How many of those individuals have been using statin class drugs? I just think that the issue with regard to dementia can certainly be tallied to a certain extent with regard to statin class drug use. The other area of pharmaceutical medicine that is related to this dementia and possibly Alzheimer's is chemical hormone replacement therapy. It's listed right there with the potential side effects. So how about when we are prescribing to people some hormone replacement therapy as well as statin drugs? It's a chemical mess.
Well, you have to be careful anytime you prescribe any drug. And doctors get I don't know what's a good term.
Upset.
No, that's not what I'm looking for. Oh. They are not really paying attention. They take it for granted these drugs are safe because so many people take them and you don't really hear of problems. But you know what? You saw all the problems you have, people are having, but they're not attributing it to the drug. And I think that's the biggest problem. So what do you do if you have back to the heart attack, even a silent heart attack? The recommendations are always the same. Eat healthier, exercise, lose weight, stop smoking. Sometimes it takes a heart attack to get people motivated to take the steps they should have taken to prevent the heart attack.
Okay, so eat healthy. So many people are overwhelmed with that recommendation from their doctor. Where would you start with your patients, Dr. Slavin?
As far as eating healthy?
Yeah.
Probably just cut back on sugar.
Okay.
That'd be number one for me.
Because of the inflammatory response that pretty much everybody's going to have to
sugar. And so you understand the inflammatory response, it starts in the gut. So when you eat the sugar, you know, you're promoting dysbiosis in your digestive tract, and that leads to all this inflammation. So cut out the sugar, cut back on the carbs, meaning...
And when you say cut out the sugar, you're saying artificial sweeteners, too.
Yes. I say artificial sweeteners for another reason. They're artificial.
So a molecule your body has never seen before.
Yeah. So, cut back on the carbs, meaning cut back on the potatoes, the rice, the bread, the grains.
What about oatmeal? Because people love their oatmeal.
I bet you they wouldn't love the oatmeal so much if they didn't put sugar in it.
That's true.
Right?
Right.
Or maybe they put maple syrup in it, or they put, I don't know about honey, but, you know, they put things in it to make it tastier.
Yes.
And you might as well just, if you're going to do that, you might as well just go out and have a donut.
You know, people's hearts, literally.
So, you know, if you have to, if you love your oatmeal so much, once a week, you know, this is where intermittent fasting comes in. We're going to bypass breakfast because even though they say it's the most important meal of the day, and I'm not sure why they say that, not the choices people make does not make it the most important. They may make it the most dangerous meal of the day.
One of the things that I tell people is you don't have to have a Kellogg's breakfast. You've been brainwashed into believing that there are breakfast foods, and food is food, so you can choose from a wide range of different choices. So one of the things that I'm going to question you about, Dr. Slavin, eggs. What do you think of eggs for people?
Eggs are okay as long as they're prepared properly. That means not in contact with the air. So you can hard boil, soft boil, or poached would be okay. Otherwise, you're oxidizing the cholesterol, which we want to avoid. Before the break, I just want to make this last point. So they followed these people that had heart attacks over 9 years. 317 had the silent heart attack. 386 had the classic heart attack. And deaths were tracked over a 20-year period. The researchers accounted for factors such as smoking, weight, diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. They also took into account income and education, which could affect their level of care or access to care. The investigators found that risk of death from all causes increased 34% after a silent heart attack because people didn't know and they weren't taking steps to protect themselves.
So they were continuing possibly with their poor lifestyle choices and less than a quality diet.
Don't ignore any of the symptoms.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We have been talking about silent heart attacks. So how do we know if it's silent that we had a silent heart attack?
Well, I think the point we were trying to make is silent heart attacks aren't silent. They're missed because the symptoms the person had, he didn't associate with his heart. You know, he could have vague symptoms, like we mentioned earlier, just feeling tired, short of breath, that goes away with rest. So they might not say it's related to the heart. So if you have any of those vague symptoms, even digestion problems, you want to investigate. So the proper investigation depends on the timing. If you're having an acute heart attack, first of all, you should be in the emergency room. And here's why.
Don't people get a little confused about when to go to the emergency
room? Sure they do. I always tell people it's better to go to the emergency room by mistake than to stay home by mistake.
All right. Good advice.
It's because the reason people die from heart attacks initially is because of a cardiac arrhythmia. You know, the area of the heart that is affected by the heart attack is being deprived of blood, and then that part of the heart muscle dies, and it could trigger arrhythmias, and usually it's a ventricular tachycardia or fibrillation, and that's a deadly arrhythmia because basically the heart stops pumping. And if you're in the emergency room when this happens, they can treat it. They can get it under control, but if you're not in the ER, then you're chances of survival are diminished greatly. So if in doubt, go to the ER.
How do we find out if we've had a silent heart attack?
Well, when you go to the emergency room, besides the EKG, which if you're having an acute heart attack will show it, they'll do blood tests.
If it's in your history that it happens months ago?
So a troponin level in the acute phase will be elevated. Now, if you're having symptoms that you think could be your heart, you do a troponin level, and it's normal, then your symptoms are probably not your heart. Now, other ways of detecting heart problems, you would do a stress test. That's a way of, it's better for screening, but that's a way of seeing if your heart muscle is getting adequate blood flow when it's being put under stress. In other words, you can have a normal resting electrocardiogram, but it becomes abnormal with stress. So at rest, your heart is fine, but under stress, it doesn't get enough blood flow.
Shoveling snow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The other test that should be done is an echocardiogram. This is, for example, if we'll have a patient here and the EKG looks like they might have had a heart attack. A lot of times it's equivocal. In other words, could be a heart attack, maybe it's not. Can't be sure, the patient doesn't remember any symptoms. So you do the echocardiogram, that's the ultrasound of the heart. It looks at the muscle of the heart to see if all the muscles are moving properly. Like we said, when you have a heart attack, the heart muscle is replaced by scar tissue because it's lost its blood supply. So that area of the heart will not be contracting the same way as other areas. Now, if sufficient muscle of the heart is damaged, that leads to congestive heart failure, whereas you don't have enough heart muscle pumping, so the output ejection fraction is diminished. So a normal ejection fraction is considered to be greater than 50%. Now, I've had patients, I have to tell you, a member patient had an ejection fraction of 11%, and he was functional.
How do you measure that ejection fraction?
Measure with an echocardiogram. And what the ejection fraction is measuring is what percentage of the blood is pumped out of the left ventricle, you know, during systole, when the heart pumps. And a normal amount would be at least 50% of what's in the ventricle. If it's under 50%, the heart muscle is not doing its job. properly.
Okay. How do we build up our heart muscles? How do we make our heart muscles strong?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, you can exercise. I mean, that's the typical way, but you can over-exercise. I think more importantly, it's, again, paying attention to your blood pressure. High blood pressure is going to increase the thickness of the heart muscle, which can be a bad thing, because now the heart has to pump against greater resistance. The blood pressure is higher because the heart, you know, is pumping against resistance. And typically, what does that mean? What causes the resistance? The arteries are a little stiffer. They don't expand when the heart pumps. Therefore, the pressure is higher. Heart has to work more, and that creates what they call ventricular hypertrophy, thickening of the heart muscle, which is not a good thing.
Okay, so the heart rate variability test that measures flexibility of your arteries and blood vessels.
It also gives us feedback as to the state of health of your arteries.
So here you are, just 3 minutes paid for by insurance, and that wealth of information with regard to inflammation, how you handle stress, and arterial flexibility.
Now, here's the thing. Sometimes arterial flexibility changes. It's not static. I had a patient come in, and the range goes from 1 to 7. 7 being, severe hardening of the arteries, or, you know, reduced elasticity, and 1 being perfectly normal, 1 and 2 being normal. So he came in with a 7. I said, okay, we're going to recheck it after you rest for a while. And we did a treatment on him, and I went down to a 3 afterwards. So you can see, because driving, it puts stress on your body, the arteries, the muscles in the arteries tighten up. So these are all risk factors for heart attacks, if you think about it. Because when your arteries tighten up and they're not elastic, the blood pressure goes up, and you're increasing your risk for a heart attack. And these things can all be picked up when we check heart rate variability, which is really evaluating your autonomic nervous system.
So much to think about, so little time.
Well, so what do I tell patients? You know, you need to make sure you get enough sleep, you meditate, you learn to relax. A lot of people don't know what that word means, relax.
Okay. Yesterday we were talking about high-intensity interval training. Do you have any reason to say that is a good way to exercise for someone with the developing underlying heart disease, or is that a bad way because it puts stress?
Well, I'm going to tell you why it's good. Because, number one, you're doing it at your level, at your capability. Number one, nobody's forcing you to go beyond your body's abilities. But more importantly, you're just doing it for 20 seconds. You know, we're not pushing someone to do it until complete exhaustion, but you want that all-out effort, but just for 20 seconds. And then we give ample time. In the case we used yesterday, about 2 minutes of recovery. So now your heart rate is back to normal, your breathing is back to normal, and then you go ahead and do 20 seconds again. And we said you do that, just 3 intervals of that, which is 1 minute, and they say that you got the benefit. That would be the same as doing 45 minutes of less than high intensity exercise.
So much information. Okay, so that high intensity number of seconds, is that going to build heart muscle strength? Is that going to enhance ejection fraction, or all of the above, or none of the above?
Well, what it does, it improves the circulation through your body. It's going to help lower insulin levels, which is important, help your body utilize sugar better. In other words, put the sugar back into the cells. And so therefore, it promotes and reduces stress in the body. So all these benefits of exercise are going to be achieved with that type of exercise.
Okay, how important is it to think good thoughts? You were mentioning meditation as a routine practice that is beneficial with regard to reducing overall stress response. You know, to keep that very positive outlook. How important do you think that is with regard to this whole discussion of silent heart attacks and stress?
Extremely important. I think this is the missing link. When you hear of someone dying, for example, you say, boy, they ate right, they exercised, and how come they died? Probably stress that they may or may not have been aware of because, you know, again, you may not be aware of it. That's why when we test people, with heart rate variability, you can pick up stress on people. I see we test for physical stress, mental stress, and stress resistance, and I see a lot of people with very high levels of physical stress and no stress resistance, and that's not a good combination.
Okay. How important is measuring cortisol levels?
Well, it's another indication, but that's a late indication. I see a lot of people under stress with normal cortisol levels, you see, so you can't, in other words.
So might those people be managing their stress, or their stress is just always going to translate into elevation in cortisol?
Well, no, the stress will elevate cortisol levels, but we're all equipped to deal with stress. It's when the stress is chronic and unyielding that you develop the real problems. And I just want to remind everybody what that patient answered my question. He was 95 years old. I asked him, what's the secret to your longevity? And he said, I don't worry about anything. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, laugh at that because, mm-hmm. and they say they can't do that. Well, I said, when did worrying ever help anything?
Okay, unfortunately, it's usually the things that you have not worried about and have not even considered that tend to make a more intense negative impact on your life. So,
for example?
Well, you're looking straight ahead. And all of those things that you've picked out to worry about. The finances, your children, and what happens coming from behind, silent heart attack that you haven't considered because you're concentrating on supposed real life situations.
But the worrying didn't change the outcome, right?
Worrying did not change the outcome. What? You focused your efforts in the wrong direction, unfortunately. So, to give people the tools so that their body's response to everyday real life, their body's response is supported with nutrition, with water, with mental focus on positivity.
I think a lot of people feel helpless and therefore they don't take steps to do something. If something is bothering you, take steps. Either it falls into two categories. Either I can do something to change, you know, correct the problem, or you realize there's nothing I can do to correct the problem. And in both cases, it should help reduce worry. Either you're going to, you know, and so if you realize there's nothing you can do to correct the problem, then what does worrying is going to accomplish?
Okay, what about exercise that you enjoy? I hear some music.
Anything that reduces stress, including exercise, meditation, all good things to do.
Get outside. The music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We are here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 and giving our listeners insight into ways to support overall good health from many different directions. Today, we're talking about silent heart attacks.
And I think the point is, when you go to a physician, that's your chance to be told whether you have any risk factors for cardiovascular disease if they do the appropriate tests. So if the doctor does an EKG, a complete blood count, a serum chemistry level, that's pretty traditional. They might do some thyroid. The point is, you can be normal on all those tests and still have risk factors they haven't detected because they haven't done enough testing. So if I were to add another test to those tests would be a fasting insulin level. That might give you the first indication and the earliest indication of a risk factor that you want to address early on.
Okay, so my mind just went in a direction that I've not ever considered before.
And by the way, he can test your cholesterol levels. And they may be all right, too, and you can still have risk factors for cardiovascular disease.
Okay, so I'm wondering, the artificial sweeteners. Okay, so we're getting rid of sugar, and as you said, yes, indeed, get rid of the artificial sweeteners because they're artificial. But what kind of an impact do those artificial sweeteners have on insulin? Do they disrupt the production of insulin? Do they interfere with the function of insulin? And so people are getting the sweet taste that they're looking for, but the metabolic response should be dramatically different with an artificial sweetener.
Well, I had a patient yesterday, and going over her lab work, I saw her insulin level went up. It was normal the last time we tested, and it was high this time. And I say, did you eat or anything? She said, well, you know, I just had some coffee with a little artificial sweetener in it.
Ooh.
And that was enough to raise the insulin level.
Interesting.
So artificial sweeteners are not good. If you have to sweeten anything, use organic cane sugar or stevia or Lohan or some of the other...
Stevia and Lohan, Truvia, which is stevia with mannitol, I think.
They're alternatives, but I prefer the organic cane sugar. I think it's closest thing to,
It's got minerals.
It's natural.
Organic evaporated cane juice crystal. So the cane juice that is sweet and has minerals, that is going to have a little bit of a balancing effect with regard to the impact on your blood sugar.
Remember, a teaspoon of sugar is only 16 calories. That's not what's going to create a lot of problems for you.
Okay, Dr. Slavin, there are registered dietitians whose specialty with additional education is to advise diabetics on how to proceed with regard to their diet. And very often the recommendation stands to use Splenda or Equal, sucralose or aspartame. So those sweeteners, they're still going to affect your insulin level, and diabetics are being told that those artificial sweeteners, because they have no calories, are appropriate to use.
Well, the answer there is Diabetic Association, the American Diabetes Association, who are they? Who do they really represent?
Mainstream medicine?
Yeah, okay.
What about endocrinologists? The endocrinologists who are working with these certified diabetes educators.
So here's what they recommend. I'm looking at their website, the American Diabetes Association, and they answer the question, what is a healthy diet, by saying a healthy diet is a way of eating that reduces the risk of for complications such as heart disease and stroke. So they recommend vegetables, that's okay. They recommend whole grains, which I would debate is not okay. They recommend fruits, which I think should be kept to a minimum. They recommend non-fat dairy products, which I think is not a good choice either. They recommend beans, lean meats, poultry, and fish. The recommendations are wrong.
So the vegetables at the top of the list I agree with, but then you would go down to the fish, poultry, lean meats, and beans. And the three at the top of the list that really should be evaluated very closely: whole grains, fruits, and non-fat dairy products. Non-fat, no. You want organic. That's a very important part of having dairy in your daily routine.
And then they go on to say there is no one perfect food, so including a variety of different foods and watching portion sizes is key to a healthy diet. And I would agree with that. Also, make sure your choices from each food group provide the highest quality nutrients you can find. In other words, pick foods rich in vitamins, minerals, and fiber over those that are processed.
Okay, so
keyword, organic too.
Fiber.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Fiber and hydration?
They don't really get specific as to... You mentioned artificial sweeteners and things like that. I'd like to see how what their position is on that. Because all the artificial sweeteners are made by drug companies. And diabetes is big business for the drug companies. So their goal is not to prevent diabetes. Their goal is to manage diabetes. So how do you prevent diabetes? Remember, 90% of diabetics are adult onset or non-insulin dependent diabetes. In other words, it's self-inflicted by eating a diet that's high in carbohydrates over a prolonged period of time.
Lifestyle disease.
Right. So the best way to know if you're on the road to diabetes is to check your insulin level. That's the first thing to go wrong. That'll go wrong, become abnormal before your blood sugar goes up, before the hemoglobin A1C goes up. That fasting insulin level will become higher. So that would be the best warning sign that you're heading in the direction of diabetes, because if you can change direction and get that insulin level back into normal range and prevent the occurrence of adult onset diabetes.
What's the single most appropriate way to lower fasting insulin level?
Tell me.
Exercise.
Well, that would lower insulin levels whether you're fasting or not fasting.
Insulin levels, which is critically important with regard to the development of a diabetic state.
See, what exercise does is puts the sugar back into the cell, and you don't need the insulin present to do that. So that's why exercise helps all types of diabetes control their blood sugar, diabetics control their blood sugar, is exercise.
So important. And with regard to this whole discussion that we've had this morning, Dr. Slavin, by addressing stress, the exercise is going to drive the glucose into the cell to energize the cell. And doing exercise is going to minimize stress. What kind of impact does stress have on raising blood sugar?
Well, it'll raise blood sugar. I found the area where it said understanding carbohydrates, the different types. They talk about low-calorie sweeteners. And, you know, that's not, you know, what you want to have. And they're talking about FDA approved. They approved 6 artificial sweeteners. That's just because they're FDA approved doesn't mean it's okay to have them. But it says you can buy them to use as a tabletop sweetener. You can put them in coffee, tea, sprinkle them on fruit. Imagine putting sweeteners on fruit.
You can't imagine how many people do that.
Yeah. And then they say, what's the deal with stevia? I'm not sure what the deal with stevia is, if they're trying to stay, according to the FDA.
It's appropriate, that's safe to use in appropriate amounts.
I'm not sure why they made a big deal about stevia. But
anyway. Yes, we really do know. They are supporting the chemical sweeteners. We are out of time. You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been speaking this morning with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
Have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.